Good morning.
Christ is risen. Christos Anesti. We read today, throughout this Paschal season, we read, instead of an epistle of Paul, we read from the Acts of the Apostles, a book that was written by St. Luke after he had written the Gospel. So there's the Gospel of Luke and there's the book of Acts, which continues the story that Luke began in the Gospel. So he's the author of the book of Acts. And during this Paschal season, we mostly read from the book of Acts instead of the letters of St. Paul, which makes sense because the book of Acts describes what happened after the resurrection as the apostles went out. And that's exactly what is happening in today's reading from chapter 16. But in the previous chapter, chapter 15, very important chapter in the Bible, chapter 15 of the book of Acts, because there was a council of the apostles and church elders to decide how to bring pagans into the Christian faith. You see, the mission to the Jews had pretty much run its course. There weren't many more to convert. And the future lay with the Gentiles, who were, of course, much more numerous in the Roman Empire than the Jews in their small communities. So the future for the church definitely lay with the Gentiles. So at the beginning of chapter 16, which we didn't read, which wasn't read, we read later in chapter 16, but at the beginning of chapter 16 of the book of Acts, something new and extraordinary happens. St. Luke tells us that the Holy Spirit prevented St. Paul from continuing to preach in Asia. That's what that area was called, Asia. Today we call it Turkey and the Middle East. That was called Asia back then. They didn't know about China and Japan and all those other places. So Paul is ready to continue his preaching in those towns that we hear about, Ephesus and Laodicea and so on, those places in that part of the world. The Holy Spirit, Luke tells us, prevented St. Paul. Can you imagine that? The Holy Spirit just put a stop to St. Paul and says, no, St. Paul, you're going to go somewhere else. You're going to go somewhere else. Because God had a different plan now in mind as to where Paul was going to go. Now, Paul was sitting in a town called Troas, which is in the northwest corner of what we today call Turkey, right on the Aegean Sea. And there, maybe he was half asleep, maybe he was resting, a man of Macedonia, a Macedonian man, appeared to Paul in a vision and pleaded him and said, come over to Macedonia and help us. And then Luke tells us, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia. Immediately, no delay. When God sends a clear message, you pack up your bags and you go. And maybe even forget about packing your bags. You just go. You change your life and you go. And notice, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia. For the first time in the book of Acts, we hear the pronoun we. Because now Luke, who is writing this book, basically is joining Paul and Silas and the others. So now he is part of the team. So from now on, he writes as we. He's involved. He's part of it. So they cross over to Europe, to northern Greece, to Macedonia. You know, I have to share this little story with you. In 1983, right after I graduated from seminary, Father John Meyendorf asked me to represent the seminary at a conference at the Patriarchal Center in Chambéry in Switzerland. Of course I accepted, especially expenses paid. So there I am outside Geneva in Chambéry at this Patriarchal Center, representing St. Vladimir's Seminary. But when I entered the church at this Patriarchal Center, I was blown away. You know, like we have wall icons here? In that church, there was a very tall and kind of narrow wall icon of exactly that vision that St. Paul had in Troas with the call to go to Macedonia. It was painted by the Greek iconographer Rallis Kopsidis. But he did something very creative, very unusual, especially for its time. Those were very conservative times as far as church stuff goes. He shows St. Paul kind of resting on the shore there of the Aegean on Troas, and he's looking towards Macedonia. But instead of showing an ancient city, what Rallis Kopsidis painted was a modern industrial city. So there is St. Paul 2,000 years ago on the coast of what we today call Turkey, looking towards Europe, where he's going to cross over and continue his ministry. And there he sees an industrial city, factories, plants, high-rise buildings. Fascinating. I mean, it took a lot of creativity on the part of Rallis Kopsidis to represent such a scene. Very unusual, especially in a patriarchal church. And I said to myself, how appropriate. How appropriate, because there's St. Paul looking not just at an ancient city and an ancient land, but in the lands of today, the Europe of today. And beyond that, if he could have painted more past Europe into the open ocean, our eyes would have gazed upon the lands yet to be discovered by white men called America. Paul, in that amazing icon, maybe I'll send it to you in an email so you can see it. Paul is questioning not just the people that he will be speaking to in Philippi, but he's questioning us and asking us how his preaching that we have been hearing for 2,000 years, how his preaching has touched our lives, and how truthful and faithful we are to the teaching we have received from him and through the church and the scriptures. Today's reading from the book of Acts, chapter 16, which follows after that vision to go to Macedonia. Today's reading from the book of Acts begins after Paul has arrived in Macedonia, in the town called Philippi. As long as Paul worked among his own people, the Jews, his enemies were the same. It was always the Pharisees and the religious leaders, the same people who persecuted Jesus, were also the ones who were persecuting St. Paul. But now, in the wider world of paganism, beyond the Jewish world, Paul now confronts a different sort of enemy. Paul now had to deal with what we call syncretism. Syncretism. You see, that slave girl that you heard about. Janet read it. You see, that's what that slave girl represents, syncretism. She was drawn to Paul's preaching and even went around proclaiming, telling people to listen to him. But Paul had the wisdom and the insight, the spiritual insight, to see that it was a different spirit that was driving that girl. Because that girl was using the preaching of Paul in order to make money for her owners. It was a spirit of greed, a spirit of idolatry that was speaking through that girl. And yet, she was speaking about Paul. That's syncretism. When you think somebody's talking about Jesus, but that person is actually committed to something else, that's syncretism. Or when somebody mixes their philosophy, their ideas, their, what the Gallup poll says is the popular issue today, when you bring that issue into Jesus, into Christianity, that's syncretism. When you mix Buddha with Jesus, that's syncretism. You like Buddha? Mine. Go ahead, love him. But the minute you mix Islam with Christianity, like they're doing now in England, Church of England is opening their churches to Muslims to worship. That's more than syncretism, that's apostasy. That's apostasy. And they're going to burn for that. But it's right there. St. Paul encounters it right there in Philippi, in northern Greece. An amazing incident. Would you or I have had the wisdom, the discernment, to see that the spirit that was speaking through that girl was not the spirit of God? It was a demonic spirit. There are many spirits in the world, today especially, many spirits that deceive us if we let our guard down. St. Paul wrote in one of his letters, and I quote, that in later times, some will depart from the faith by giving heed to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons. In later times, today, 2026, we are living that. Even in our churches, just walk around the churches of Portland. And another apostle, St. John, wrote in his first letter, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are of God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world." Test the spirits. Dokimazete ta pnevmata. Dokimazo. Not just today's meaning of I try it out, you know. Dokimazo afto to fagito. It's a much deeper meaning. Really test them, examine them. Examine the spirits. Today, it's the opposite that's happening today. Today, it's the spirits that are examining us, that are examining Christ, that are examining the church. There are people who sit in the church sometimes who evaluate what I say according to what they believe, and according to what their priorities are, and according to what is the popular fad of the day. They are also dokimazon, but from a satanic point of view, not from Paul's point of view. I resent that, quite frankly. And one of these days, I will lash out at somebody who dares to to evaluate the gospel according to what they think is the DEI way to do it. Sorry. Test the spirits, examine them, submit them to the test of Scripture. That's what Paul did after several days of following, of this girl following them. And he exposed the spirit that was operating in her. Anything that mixes Christ with another philosophy or superstition or with monetary gain is guilty of syncretism. If you put an eye on the same chain as your cross, you are guilty of syncretism. You are mixing superstition with the gospel of Jesus Christ. The powers yeah, might as well say it. You think you're reading the Bible in a Masonic lodge? That's syncretism. The powers that promote syncretism are the powers that threw Paul and Silas in jail because they had interfered with how money was being made from this slave girl. And the rest of the story you heard today, Janet read it very well, how the prison doors were miraculously opened, how the jailer was about to kill himself, how Paul kept him from committing suicide. Do not harm yourself. We are all here. We haven't left. Don't harm yourself. What beautiful words the jailer heard. And how he responded with a question, what must I do to be saved? The answer that Paul gave him is the same answer we give today. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and be baptized. Do that, and everything else will follow. The baptism will overflow with living waters. Inside the jailer, in his mind, in his heart, in his body. And he will overcome all vestiges of paganism and syncretism. So also with your baptism, your eyes should be opened like the man in today's gospel reading. And you'll be born again when the Holy Spirit removes all that remains of your unbelieving past. And that applies to you if you're baptized as a child, as a baby, because you did not understand what was happening to you. All you did was cry while parents and godparents and those were gawking and taking pictures. No, you will see the light. Maybe not right away at your baptism, especially if you're baptized as a child. But you will see the light when that baptism overflows in you, fills you with Christ's light, and you move past your attachments to paganism and to other things. Did you notice in the reading from Acts, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household? And they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all that were in the house. And he took them that same hour of the night and washed their wounds. And he was baptized at once with all his family. Did you notice? You and your household. And he was baptized at once with all his family. Some Christians believe that you cannot baptize children. We baptize babies and children. We do. And, well, It's right there, chapter 16 of the book of Acts. If you want any precedent in the Bible, it's right there. You and your household, with all his family, which means that same Spirit of God that prompted Saint Paul to expose the spirit in that girl, and then that spoke through Saint Paul to keep that jailer from leaving, from escaping, and telling him to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that same spirit that illumined that night of the miraculous opening of the jail, that same spirit overflowed in that family, and all became Christians. All became believers in Jesus Christ, adults and children, and probably babies too. Many times when I baptize a baby, I feel I should be baptizing the parents or the godparents instead, who think that the sacrament of baptism is just a Greek custom. And that's a perfect example of syncretism right there. Don't mix Christ with any religion or philosophy or political ideology. And don't mix the cross with any other symbol. Christ is the light of the world. He is the way, the truth, and the life. There is no one else who has shown God's love to us to such perfection. Every religion has its holy men and women. Every religion, or most religion, have men like that and women. But only Christ has shown God's love to complete and total perfection. Not halfway, but completely all the way, even to death on the cross. Trust him, and he will bring you home together with your household and your family. Amen.